Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Tuesday, November 14th, 2023, now 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in, Mr. Zommers. Happy anniversary. It's great to be here. We are at our one-year anniversary. It was look at this, a little piano. Very nice to have a piano person here in the studio.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
well, to us.
Yeah, to the show.
To the show. To each and every one of us. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Happy anniversary. It has been 1 year since Mr. Zommers and I first signed on to the air at our old location on University Avenue. It was a cold November day. Today, much warmer. Sun is out. Feels almost like spring a little bit.
Pretty toasty.
Yeah, very good. But yes, we have arrived at the one-year anniversary, and to celebrate that and to honor that, I have some very special guests coming up here at about 20 minutes past the hour here in the noon hour. Our owner and CEO, Sage Weil, is going to be along and talk a little bit about not just our show, but civic media at large. He's been talking here internally about some of the things that we are looking at covering and how we cover it moving into 2024. So Sage Weil, our CEO, will be here at 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. And then at 12:30, as it turns out, it is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers here at 12:30. And going to be talking a little news headlines as well as some sports. We usually touch base, and I said what I wanted to talk about. He goes, it's all sports. I said, well, I don't know. So he's got a news item.
All right, there we go.
And so
A little balanced.
And so we'll be talking Supreme Court issues coming up with Luke Mathers as well, 12:30. And then at 1:30, in the second hour, our co-executive producer of this program, Chris Pauls, will be along as well, who is also at cracked.com. Did you know Mr. Zommers, he's also a musician?
I did. He plays guitar, right?
Yes, plays guitar for a great band here in Wisconsin called Super Tanker. They have new music out. And Whoa. So he will be here talking about this new album that is being released via Spotify and other places as well, I assume. But we'll talk to Chris Pauls, find out what's on his mind at 1:30 as well. So Sage Weil, Luke Mathers, Chris Pauls, all joining us today on our one-year anniversary. Mr. Zommers has a Weezer t-shirt on. It's fantastic.
I do have a Weezer shirt on from a concert that I went to that I've probably talked about before. Mm. But Mike Crute, host of the Devil's Advocates, he also noticed it coming in. He was like, Weezer, yeah.
that was a big Jeff Perry could tell us for sure. I believe Weezer made their network television debut on David Letterman.
I don't know.
It might not be true. If Jeff's listening, he'll let us know. But Weezer was a favorite band of David Letterman's. Well, I mean, a favorite to be on the show for a long time, and Paul Schaefer. So very good. Well, congratulations, Mr. Zommer. We have made it to the one-year mark. Any reflections from you at this point in time?
I'm really happy to be here for 1 year. It's gone by very quickly, but a lot has happened for sure. And I can definitely say that starting this show, Todd took me out to pizza and talked about it and talked about his past, why he's doing a show, what he wants it to look like, and asked what I wanted it to look like. And I just remember thinking, what do I want it to look like? What do I have to do with this? It's the Todd Albaugh Show. But he really wanted to make it a collaborative effort. And I think that I am very grateful for that opportunity. And it's been so much fun the whole time.
Well, and equally on my part as well, but a lot of fun, but great getting to know one another. You've been a huge part of this and how it sounds on the air in particular. I really appreciate your professionalism, and it's been a great adventure. And you know, we got hopefully another one in us at least.
Absolutely.
So a very important one coming up in 2024. So we'll have some more reflections on the past year as the day continues. But the big shout out I would like to shout, not just to you, Mr. Zommers, for all your fine work and partnership and friendship in this, but also to our listeners, because we started in the morning at 8 o'clock, and then we went to the afternoon at 1 o'clock, and now we're starting at noon. And many of our core listeners have followed us through all the time changes and everything else. And I just so appreciate everybody who has stuck with us, who listens in either live over the air on the Civic Media app or on the podcast version as well. Appreciate all of those great people who tune in, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube as well, because without you all, quite frankly, we would not still be here. So the credit goes to each and every one of you for tuning in and listening to us and calling in and texting in, because that really is what makes the show live and breathe. It's not just not just me, not just Somers. It's all of us. So thank you all, one and all. 11 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Want to start out today with a good news story. Feels like a lot of times we don't have good news to share. This headline on CNN, President Biden says a deal to free the hostages held by Hamas, quote, is going to happen, unquote, as officials say they are nearing an agreement. I think this is a great way to start the show, because as we move into 2024, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, having hard conversations, but having factual conversations. And one of the things I think that we are missing a lot in much of mainstream media is talking about the successes that are out there. And I'm willing to talk about successes, be they the impetus of Democrats or Republicans. But as of late, it seems like there have been more successes on the Republican side. But hey, I will give credit. I mean, one of the things that is happening right now at the state capitol is a bipartisan bill they are working on to address PFAS and water contamination. I'm happy to give Republicans in the legislature credit, those in particular, Rob Coles, Republican state senator from Green Bay, who is working in a bipartisan manner to get real solutions. But here, breaking news, not breaking, but news today, President Joe Biden said today he believes a deal can be reached to release hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza, voicing optimism as he tells CNN that prolonged talks to free hostages are nearing an agreement. Quote, I've been talking with people involved every single day. I believe it's going to happen, but I don't want to get into detail, unquote, the president told White House reporters this morning. A senior U.S. official familiar with the talks said today that Israel and Hamas are moving closer to a deal to secure the release of hostages taken during the Hamas attacks on Israel in exchange for a sustained days-long pause in fighting. The official statement, or the official stressed rather, that while the parties have inched closer to striking a deal, the talks remained volatile and could still break down. Quote, it's closer, but it's not done, unquote. One European diplomat yesterday expressed optimism that some hostages could be released in the coming days or weeks. This is great news. And we've talked about this in a Wisconsin context, in particular here in Madison on the campus, but I know other university campuses across the state, in other communities across the state. There have been pro-Israeli rallies. There have been pro-Palestinian rallies. I think there's a lot of disinformation out there and people getting riled up for perhaps the wrong reasons. But I would hope, I think that we could all agree that any sort of hostages should be released, that innocent lives should matter on every side. Shouldn't matter what people's nationality is in terms of whether a life is sacred. But I think this is really positive news. And again, I point out that this could only come about if you have someone in the White House who is experienced, who knows all the players, who understands the volatile, tender, dry danger of negotiations at this level. To the White House official's point here in this story, very volatile and it could break down any time. But here's a guy, Joe Biden, who has been in the United States Senate, spent years there, leadership, chaired committees, chaired the House Judiciary Committee, vice president for 8 years, and now president. And it takes that kind of gravitas, that kind of experience to create a team. It's not just him. It's the people that he chooses to head up the State Department, Antony Blinken. It's the people in the National Security Advisor, people that he appoints to ambassadors and shared affairs. It's the team that the president assembles that can get results like this. And again, I understand it's not done. But while others have been calling for extremes, I'll say, here's a president who has stood with Israel, not necessarily the Netanyahu government, but the Israeli people and our alliance with Israel, but yet has been negotiating behind the scenes, and it looks like now we're getting close to a situation where we have hostages that may be released, particularly American hostages, both Israeli Americans and Palestinian Americans, and that there will be perhaps a 4 to 5 day ceasefire and to allow this to happen and to, for more humanitarian aid to get into Gaza. I'm very thankful that we have a person like Joe Biden in the White House right now. Somebody who can negotiate these things. And again, not a guy who is politically sexy from a media standpoint, not media sexy. Doesn't get you the great clickbait quotes that Trump does. But he just gets things done. Went and got gas last night. $2.93. $2.93. As we go into Thanksgiving, as we go into the holidays, gas prices coming down. Inflation, the lowest of any other democratic country in the world. And I get it that prices at the grocery store, they're still high. Not everything is coming down. But if you look at what this president has done in 2.5 years, compare unemployment, record lows, job creation, record highs, a lot of great things have been done over the last 2.5 years of a Biden administration and with a lot of opposition in Congress. And again, I want to point out, it's not just one person. It ain't just all Joe Biden. It is the people that he appoints. And I think if you juxtapose that to what we talked about yesterday with Donald Trump, the people that he wants to appoint, again, I ask yourself, as a former Republican, does this align with what you believe? What Trump wants to do versus what Biden is already doing? That's how we open the show. We come back. We talk to our owner and CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, on the other side. Do not go anywhere. You're going to want to hear from him moving into 2024. This is the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media. Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome back in on a Tuesday, November 14th. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Glad to have you along across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the app around the world. If you haven't got the app, it's a perfect time to do it. Just open up your iPhone or your Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It'll pop up a beautiful little CM logo there. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It is free, gratis, no dinero. Won't cost you a dime. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app, download it today. The person who created the Civic Media app or had the idea for it, and this entire network joins us now on our one-year anniversary. That's right. It was 1 year today that our show signed on the air. We are grateful to be here 1 year later. The CEO and owner of Civic Media, Sage Weil, joins us live in studio. Sage, how the heck are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing there, Todd?
Well, we've survived a year, so not bad at all.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you to you. Before we start, I just want to say, Zommer, as I talked about at the top of the show, it is a privilege and an honor to have this opportunity to have a microphone, to go across the state, to be on an app that goes around the world. I don't take that for granted, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity and Civic Media for supporting us and putting us on the air.
We are thrilled to have you on the air.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. 1 year later, we look at our show and kind of look back at what we did and where we're going. You've spent time, you know, here at Civic Media internally, recently talking about, as we move into 2024, some goals in terms of how we want to talk about things. And I just wonder if you could share a little bit of that. And again, this has not changed. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it quickly again. When I had my first interview with you, you know, I thought it was a little too good to be true because, A, who the heck is buying small radio stations across anywhere right now? And number two, usually there's an agenda, a large one-sided agenda to it. And so I asked you, I said, well, what's the deal here? What do you want me to say? And you simply said, to tell the truth and do it with integrity. And I can tell people 1 year later that has not changed. Talk, if you could, please, about what you've been telling us internally about where civic media is going in 2024 and what are the things you want to focus on.
Sure. I mean, I think the reality is there is an agenda, but that agenda is simply democracy writ large. So a year ago when we were first getting off the ground and getting started, we went through sort of a mission, vision, core values sort of exercise. And we were a much smaller company then, but it was a great process. People were very involved and very enthusiastic. And we settled on a mission and vision statement and a set of core values that include, you know, democracy, transparency, a bunch of stuff. And it's all on our website. So this is all fully transparent. And I think it was very helpful early on to sort of make everyone understand the reason why we're here and what gets us up every morning and what the goals for the network are. But fast forward a year and we're roughly doubled in size as far as people. There are a lot of new people involved, and it felt like it was time to sort of revisit that a little bit and also just take another pass over those statements, make sure that they were still as clear and concise as possible and try to tighten it up a little bit. And so we had a number of discussions internally and so on and so forth. And so this week, sort of we came up with our sort of new revised mission and vision statement, which are largely unchanged, except that they're much shorter and more concise, and I think a little bit more direct and forceful. And so I guess you want me to share those?
Share a couple, but before you do that, I just want to talk a minute about, and again, you've been very transparent in the past. You've been a large donor to Democratic candidates. Mm-hmm. And there's no secret there. And I think that's great that you don't hide that. But again, you've told us internally to all hosts, all producers, that we're not here to promote intentionally a particular political side. It's whoever buys into pro-democracy, we're here to talk about that and them.
Yes, 100%. Yes. And it's sort of an awkward political moment right now where you have only two political parties of note, and one of them is sort of actively trying to dismantle many of these institutions and norms. And so you only have sort of one choice if you want to vote pro-democracy, at least if you're paying attention to what's going on. But I view this as sort of a short-term situation. And I want to be very clear that as soon as we have Republican candidates who are championing democratic reforms that are valuable and actually improve the transparency and the ability of the electorate to select candidates that will truly reflect their wishes, then we would 100% want to support those people as well. This is not about one party over another. It's about candidates who are defending and championing democracy and the democratic process so that we can get to a point where we can improve the system and not just sort of prevent it from crumbling.
I had an eye-opening moment like last week when you and I talked briefly, or maybe it was... Okay. Time goes so fast now. I'm getting old, Sage, but he's still young. I'm a little getting older. But I think you nailed it when we were talking about in terms of people who bring to the table, and you're a big proponent of ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. And we had a caller call in last week who echoed this. And I said, but Sage, this isn't going to change anytime soon until we have a different legislature, and mm-hmm. you said what?
I said that we have to be able to look beyond sort of the immediate steps that need to be taken in order to preserve the system that we have and be actively educating the electorate and informing people about what reforms are possible so that we can demand those reforms of the candidates that we're voting for. And I think I often come back to the example in the 90s when the Newt Gingrich, I think it was the Contract with America.
Is this 94.
And I was like, I think in middle school or high school, whatever. So I like barely, I barely remember how this actually happened. But I think the concept is great where you clearly identify what your legislative agenda is, mm-hmm. and you get all of the candidates in the legislature, legislative candidates, to sign on to that so that you can then hold them accountable. And I would love to see a similar sort of initiative this year, particularly if we can get maps that are more fair, because then a lot of these districts will be competitive and the candidates will be scrambling a little bit. But if we can identify a series of democratic reforms that that we believe are going to improve, and we can get those legislators to to, you know, pledge that they're going to support those or whatever, then we can hold them to account. I think there's an opportunity there.
I do too, and I think it's great. Again, this doesn't mean that every person has to agree on taxes, for instance, but if people just agree on democracy, you know, we can promote those people, even though they might not have a large D behind their name. If they're just simply in favor of democracy and say, hey, if I get to the legislature, I'll vote for ranked choice voting, you know, that's somebody that you that we can talk about.
And I think that, I mean, when you look at the polling, you see that the support for the rate at which people identify with a particular political party is steadily declining. I think it's at like 25% now on the left and on the right. And you have like a whopping 15% of people, 50% of people who don't consider themselves a Democrat or a Republican or frustrated with both parties or whatever it is. I think this is an opportunity for us to build an environment where there are more than two political parties. And more importantly, to frame our sort of our social identity, our tribe, if you will, in nonpartisan terms. Like my hope for civic media is for us to create sort of a new team democracy, let's call it, where people have decided that they are more interested in preserving a democratic system than in furthering the sort of divisive issues that are sort of dominating the current conversation.
Sage Weil, owner of Civic Media and CEO, we thank you, my friend. Thanks for being here.
Hopefully
we'll be here again to talk about it and review it in year number two. Back with Luke Mathers on the other side of the Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I didn't know where the ethics part was going to go. All right. I have no ethics. 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome back into the Todd Allball Show, our one-year anniversary show on Civic Media. Mr. Zommer's on the board. A little funky music there for our next guest. He joins us each and every Tuesday. He was kind enough when we began this company to have me join him once in a great while on his show, and then he's just been nothing but a kind person and a wonderful person ever since, and we're glad to have him along every Tuesday. Luke Mathers, great to have you here.
I didn't keep it in the calendar. I completely forgot I was there on the first day. I was running the board on the first day of the Todd Allball Show.
Because Mr. Zommer's was ill or something.
I did not bring flowers. I feel terrible that I did not remember the anniversary.
Here's what Luke said before. He goes, listen, we have this cake. We have a cake here. And he goes, 1 year? He goes, it's been 1 year already. He goes, it seemed like a lot longer than that.
No, I said, it's only been a year? Right. What? Okay. But yeah, time flies, right?
Not exactly.
Feels like a lot longer.
You don't want to be in a relationship where the partner says, you know, oh God, it seemed like a lot longer than a year.
Well, it could also be interpreted as, oh, it feels like we've been together forever.
I didn't get that vibe. I didn't get that vibe.
Yeah, Mr. Zommers has got some rosy glasses. I was like, what? How? No, it feels much longer than that.
We've been putting up with this Yahoo for a year. Jeez. Well, thank you. In all seriousness, we appreciate all the support. I appreciate your support personally. I appreciate the support professionally. You've been nothing but a kind person and supportive of this show, and we could not still be here without you. So thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, I think you're doing tremendous work, Todd, and appreciate that you're able to let me on and join you for a tangent here or two, here or there on a Tuesday.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And speaking of that, we're going to get right into it because Luke is – here's the deal. Luke is obsessed with – good government. And that's one of the many things I love about him. And we have not had a U.S. Supreme Court update in a while, but a lot of other things on our plate. But thank goodness, Luke, you've been on top of it. Something you've talked about, Clarence Thomas, who has fallen short.
It's not just him, but
in particular him.
Yeah.
But now these justices, and tell people if abuse are very kind, the Supreme Court has decided to kind of, sort of, police themselves with passing the first of its kind ethics guide. But does this really mean a hill of beans?
Well, I think we got to be careful with what words we use to describe this code of conduct that adopted yesterday. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, they came out saying that we're all gonna adhere to these principles. But I don't think you could use the term police to describe it, because police infers some form of enforcement, Todd.
Yes.
And this has none of that.
Well, it seems like a junior high. You know, when the teacher monitoring the lunchroom says, you know, don't throw your food, behave yourself. I'm going to the teacher's lounge to read a paper. And then they leave. And then it's up to the students to police themselves.
Oh, and then we come back and we see food everywhere. Right. And it's kind of like, well, who threw it? And it's like, oh, I swear I'm going to sign on this little piece of paper saying it wasn't me.
How did that happen?
But yeah, exactly. And so it very much feels like a big nothing burger to me. I hope maybe we can be optimistic about it. Maybe this is something that will help restore integrity to the branch of government that in recent polling we've seen, Todd, has been tanking in public approval. And so maybe, but I'm not super optimistic about what came out yesterday, because it's pretty soft in the language. And the outlet that I've been using to cover a lot of this, because they're doing excellent reporting, is ProPublica. They were the first ones to release a lot of the ties with Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and Harlan Crow, a mega donor to the conservative movement across the country, and ProPublica doing excellent detailing on it. They're reporting by Joshua Kaplan, Justin Elliott, Brett Murphy, and Alex Mirjeski. Sorry, Alex, butchered that last one. But and they kind of gave a nice write-up of the piece that they have yesterday of the Supreme Court adopting this ethics code of ethics. Mm. But in the piece, it says the new document largely echoes the code of conduct that applies to lower court judges. Many of the prescriptions are lofty but vague. It requires the justices to, quote, act at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence in the integrity and impartiality of the judiciary. It prohibits justices from soliciting gifts, practicing law, or sitting on cases where their, quote, impartiality might reasonably be questioned. So that's what this code of conduct is. So if we question their impartiality, they should be recusing themselves from cases, Todd. Or they can't solicit gifts, but it doesn't say they can't receive the gifts. As long as they're not asking for the private jet flights.
Right.
Private jet flights are A-OK then, according to this new code of conduct.
It's one of the things I love about when I worked in the legislature. One of the things I love about law, why I briefly decided or thought about going to law school that I didn't.
Hey, I did that. I had that same right. dance in my head.
A lot of reasons I didn't, primarily my grade point average. But
mine was inflated cost of tuition. Right. That was one of those ones that I was like, hmm.
But what I love about the law is that it lays it out for itself pretty much. If you really look at law a lot of times, there's not a lot of ambiguity. You just read it and then you apply common sense or you apply the definition of things. And
that's what the Supreme Court's supposed to do. Right. Like the Supreme Court's the arbiter of what is and is not in those laws. And you would think that there would then be, when you break the law, if you break the code of conduct, that there would be a body put together, as there is for lower courts, to say, okay, there's going to be somebody to, using your language, police the ethics of the nation's highest court. And this code of conduct just simply falls short of doing anything close to that. It's all of them signing on the dotted line saying, we promise to adhere to not ask for the gifts, but, you know, if the gifts right. show up, we promise not to do anything overtly political unless, you know, we just deem it not political. And so it seems like a big old nothing burger, Todd.
Well, to your point, using this term, will not solicit gifts. Like, I'm no Matt Flynn, I'm not an attorney, but to me, if they were serious about it, instead of saying the Supreme Court shall not or will not solicit gifts, you would simply, in the language, would be something along the lines of, no member of the Supreme Court shall receive, accept, or otherwise receive a benefit that could be construed in common terms as influence in the court of law or in proceedings.
That would actually be addressing the ethical questions, though, Todd. That's not just a nicely signed letter that all nine of them, because that's what essentially what it came down to, I think.
right.
is the nine Supreme Court justices wanted a letter, and it's about, I want to say, a 9-page code of conduct. They wanted something that all nine of them could agree upon,
right.
And you have to then go down to the lowest common denominator. Because if you want to get unanimous consent for this code of ethics, you have to go down to whichever Supreme Court justice is the one that's like, I don't like that language. And I have a feeling Clarence Thomas was probably that lowest common denominator from all of the reporting that ProPublica has put out there. Hey, maybe it was Alito, because Alito, you know, he also likes his private jet flights. He got one all the way to Alaska that, you know, there's no monetary value to flying on that private jet because the seat was otherwise going to be empty, Todd. And that's the arguments that we get to hear from the nation's highest court and the individuals that sit on it.
In political terms, we call this window dressing. It's nothing more than that. It's the same thing. You just dress up the window to make it look different. There's nothing really there to prevent the draft from coming in the cracks.
Well, the window dressing may be working, though, too, because U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, who sits as the chair of the Judiciary Committee, had some potential subpoenas that were going to go out to individuals to see what's going on with these ethical questions that were being raised from the reporting by ProPublica and other major news outlets across the country as well. It seems like the one going out to Harlan Crow got the brakes pumped on it a little bit in recent weeks. So, yeah. So the window dressing maybe seemed to be working, but I think it's important. This is a story, and as you said, I get pretty. This one boils my blood.
And for good reason.
When I hear about this stuff, it is something that I am focused on, and I'm keeping an eye on it. But it's important that we don't let this kind of just pass by and continue to be the norm, because it's been building up for years. This isn't, it's not new revelations. And if we don't demand better from our elected officials, because Congress could do something, Congress could pass laws to create that enforcement body and actually police the ethical questions that some of the members of the nation's highest court are raising. But it takes public pressure to encourage our lawmakers to take those steps and take that action.
To your point, this has been going on for several years. I know Matt Flynn has talked about it on his show, Matt Flynn Direct, immediately after hours, and he is an attorney and knows the court system better than anybody I know. But as a student of history, I know you are as well, it seems to dovetail what's happening in the Supreme Court right now with also this lack of ethics and character in our elected bodies, whether they're in Congress or whether they're in Wisconsin's legislature, things that otherwise people would have done in the past, which would have been, oh my gosh, you can never get reelected or you're going to have to resign. The audacity of some of these actions has just grown. Luke, do you think it ties in with the audacity of the Trump candidacy and the presidency of 2016? Or is it just a snowball down the hill from everybody? What is causing these people to just not have any sort of norms like we did in the past?
I think it goes much earlier than 2016, though. I think 2016 was a big wake-up call, but these things, like the Federalist Society, specifically in talking about our judiciary here, has been at this long before 2016. This has been a concerted effort by individuals that want to reshape the courts here in the United States for decades. And so I think that there is some tie-ins there. I don't know if necessarily all of the causation and correlation are the same, but it's definitely a fact that we have let for too long there be zero accountability for a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Like there, it just seems, because there are ethical standards for all of our other federal judiciary members
and state,
and and so there are steps to enforce to make sure that this type of conduct doesn't occur in lower levels of the judiciary, but it seems like you just get a free pass if you get that lifetime appointment, because these nine members are just left to police themselves. And so I think it's a very good microcosm for systemic changes that we need to make to better our government and the individuals that are in these positions of power and that represent us. And I don't think it's just the Supreme Court, though. I'm sure, like, we see Congress, members of Congress, George Santos, just serving his term, just going through. And yes, there was a censure vote in recent days, but it's bubbling up in a lot of different places, Todd. And I would hope that passing some form of code of ethics that would actually be enforceable and prevent behavior like we're seeing on the Supreme Court would be at least the first basic step, because this just feels like hopes and prayers written down and then signed by the 9 Supreme Court justices.
Talking to Luke Mathers on our Tuesday Tangents with Luke each and every Tuesday. Luke, I want to get your take on this. It was on As Goes Wisconsin, and Jane Matinere and Greg Bacher filled in for our friend Kristen Bry, who's on maternity leave right now. Jane asked me, I want your take on it. In Ohio last week, voters codified abortion rights, women's health care rights in their constitution. And within 48 hours, Republicans in the legislature in Ohio said, oh yeah, we're actually going to do an end run around and try to usurp the power of the Ohio Supreme Court to the legislature. And again, does this fall into this disregard for norms like in the U.S. Supreme Court? Now these legislatures, and we see this in Wisconsin with these goofy, you know, impeachment things. Your quick take on that, we can follow it up on the other side.
Yeah, we see it in North Carolina when lawmakers there want to go around their voters. You see it in Michigan. Michigan passed redistricting to allow the citizens of Michigan to be the ones to draw the maps. Republican elected officials said, no, we're just going to do an end around. In Florida, they re-enfranchised millions of, like a million plus voters for previous criminal convictions. If you were no longer serving time in jail, you were supposed to be able to vote again. They said, nope, we're going to do an end around there. Time and time again, it's not a one-off. This is a consistent habit when there are conservative lawmakers that do not get their way. When the voting public says, we want to do this, and those conservative lawmakers don't agree with whatever that policy initiative may be, they're going to take all measures they can to be able to try to prevent that. We saw it here in Wisconsin, too, with the lame duck session. Tony Evers got elected, and they said, no, we don't want you to have all the powers that Scott Walker had.
Next week, an important day. On Tuesday, Supreme Court takes up fair maps. Talk to Luke about that. And yes, we will talk about sports for a second, too. Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Lovell Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. It may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Luke Mathers, Lukester, on the air with us as per usual, Tuesday Tangents with Luke. He is also the executive producer of all of our shows here at Civic Media, doing a great job. Off the text line, WMDX 920 texter, talking a little bit earlier about it's our one-year anniversary today for the show, and saying that at times, the app is a little glitchy here and there. But also said I don't reply. We try. We have a lot of callers, a lot of texts. We try to reply as quickly as we can. And I appreciate the text. Appreciate all texts, all calls. Luke, I want
to just
talk
one
about,
note. I mean, we used to have one stream,
right?
Like running through that app, and now we have like 20 different streams. So right.
That's what I want to talk to you about, because you've had different hats over the last year and a half.
Just a couple
of Civic Media. you're the holder of all knowledge, basically.
That's not true. That's
pretty close. Partner, as our granddad used to say.
Any knowledge you don't hold, you know how to find it.
I don't know about that. I would say that's true. But what the important part to
you
me.
You guys are too kind.
The important part to me is that. I've seen vast improvements, and to your point, we've kept adding stations, and it's not just adding stations. We had Sage on a little while ago, our CEO and owner. He has invested in upgraded equipment, be them transmitters, antennas, other technology, and all of that takes time for our great engineering team to get installed, and while that's happening, some things may go down for a moment or two. We appreciate everybody sticking with us, but I think if you compare where Civic Media was a year ago to today, it's vastly improved.
Oh yeah, night and day. And I think it's important to point out too that local radio across the state of Wisconsin and the nation as a whole over the past several decades has been hollowed out. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of stations that just stopped talking about local issues, local concerns, local voices. And there was a lot of sound pumped in from
satellites.
Satellites plugging in an Ethernet cable and going in that way. And that was the only thing that needed to happen for some of these radio stations to be programmed. Mm-hmm. And we're doing things different here at Civic Media. And it is, I've referred to it this way since we got started, is there were going to be some growing pains and dusting off some of the older signals. And as you and Sage note, investing in those signals and right. improving those signals. And so we're definitely very excited about what we started out to do and where we are compared to that just over about a year, just under a year and a half ago now mm-hmm. with Civic Media's initial launch in the middle of last year. And there's still a lot to be done.
Yeah.
And so we're very excited about where we're heading.
We got about, 5 minutes left here or so. Let's take a moment before we do a quick sports thing. If you look ahead, Luke, to 2024 and say, hey, where do you think that this company is going to be? Where do you want it to be? What are some of the goals, whether they be hardware goals and signal or whether they be what we've been able to accomplish across the state in reaching people? Where do you see us a year from now?
I'm really looking forward to the point where other people that I know that might not necessarily know exactly the what we're doing all here at Civic Media is like, hey, have you heard about this great new radio station? Have you heard about this great new radio program? Let me tell you about it. Mm-hmm. Because once we start hearing more from the word of mouth of the people, because I think that there's a lot of tremendous work that we're doing here. So it can come from a lot of different angles. It could be local sports broadcasts, like tremendous markets, Richland Center, Wausau, Waukesha. We're doing sports broadcasts that you can't find anywhere else. It could be all the way up to Brewers coverage. Mm-hmm. I found a new Brewers station. They're part of Civic Media. Have you heard about that? Like, that's what I'm excited for, is going to be the organic word of mouth that more and more Wisconsinites hopefully will be talking about us, and we're going to get the word out about what we're doing here at Civic Media and let people know that we're going to be a platform that they can tune in for local news, local commentary, weather, sports, everything. And so that's really what I'm looking forward to in 2024.
It's going to be a great year.
That works better when it's organic. When I tell my friends, like, hey, this thing's going to be on Civic Media and I think you're going to enjoy it, and I'm sincere. I'm not saying that because I work for it. I'm like, hey, this is a topic about a particular sports team, or we have this guest from this TV show that I think you're going to enjoy. And then they're like, haha, Aaron, such a shill for Civic Media. And I'm like, no, I actually think you'll like it.
Yeah.
There's some really great, talented people. And again, I'm happy to be a small part of it and glad to be here on the team each and every day. I want to get, speaking of teams, we talked about this a little bit last week. Of course, Craig Counsell going to the Chicago Cubs. We'll let that alone. The last night into this morning, it appears now, and I have a buddy of mine who is kind of a Brewers insider that I had dinner with. I went to the Badger game with him last Badger basketball on Friday. By the way, the Badgers look good despite the loss, because Tennessee, I think, is probably an Elite Eight, maybe even a Final Four team. Badgers did not look bad, unlike the football team. But what I want to ask you, about, Lukester.
A lot of caveats in there.
Yes.
Tangents is one may say.
What I want to ask you about is, apparently now the bench manager, Pat Murphy, for the Brewers has been elevated. And according to my buddy who's a Brewer insider, there was kind of a struggle in the organization. Do you elevate Pat Murphy, or there was this guy in AAA in Nashville who was a real hot manager, or do you bring him in? The fear was, if they did that, that Pat Murphy might get snatched up by another organization.
Yeah, I think the internal hire of Pat Murphy, it kind of makes a lot of sense just from what I've been seeing about it. I think a lot of people in the Brewers front office thought Craig was going to stay. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he left last week and announced that departure to American Family Field South is what I like to refer to that historic field down on the north side of Chicago. I think it caught the front office a little reeling. And so I think an internal hire makes sense. Hopefully there's not going to be a whole lot of changes, it sounds like, then. I think Pat is going to be one of the best guys to be able to hit the ground running with the team and the organization as is. And I think with some right moves and maybe a free agent signing here or there, the team could be prepared to return to the playoffs next year.
You think so?
I think so. Right. And so I think the talent's still there. It's going to be a question of how healthy our bullpen can stay the entire season. But that's not on Pat Murphy or Craig Counsell if he was still the manager. Those things just are left to happenstance. There's just the season. It's a long season of baseball. Anything could happen next year. But I do know for sure that the Brewers are going to treat every series against the Cubs like the World Series, and that's going to be an interesting to watch.
I didn't realize this. Maybe you did. I didn't know. A lot of people, I guess, in the know, kind of called Pat Murphy the brains, the baseball brains behind Craig Counsell. That he was a guy who really worked hand in hand with Counsell and gave him a lot of this insider baseball knowledge. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I don't want to diminish what Craig has done most winning manager in Brewers history. But if that's who we got to lead the team, I'm all that more confident that the Brewers should be able to have success in 2024.
I'm always confident to have Luke Mathers by our side. Luke Mathers, Tuesday, Tangents with Luke. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you for the last year.
Happy 1 year!
Thank you. We got cake. We got Zommers. We got hour number two and Chris Paul's on the other side. And what's worse, don't miss it.